and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we take a look at one of the longest standing and yet still most important aspects of security, email protection, as we're joined by Mark Balaguer, systems engineer at Barracuda MSP. Email-based attacks have been around for almost 30 years, and yet they remain part of virtually every attack today. Mark will walk us through how the humble email attack has evolved, how it's smarter than ever these days, and how much cyber attacks using email today cost enterprises. We'll discuss how attacks are evolving as a result of the pandemic, and we'll talk about how solution providers can keep up with, and maybe even keep ahead of, the would-be attackers. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Mark Balaguer. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk through some of the issues around email protection and email security right now. Obviously, a pretty major topic in the current era, but I guess to throw it open, you know, what are some of the general trends out there when it comes to email protection, and what do you guys do to help your partners address that?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, getting that all the time, and really, you know, the unfortunate situation is that email attacks are certainly not new. they're one of the most established and long-living vectors of cybercrime, so you know, been there forever. So really today, almost every cyber attack uses or begins with an email. So in that respect, things are really starting to trend towards more complex type of attacks, such as what we call business email compromise, or BEC, conversation hijacking, lateral phishing, also something called account takeover, where that account is just completely infiltrated by that attacker. And so increasingly, cyber criminals are using combinations of multiple techniques kind of on top of each other, layered together, so that a business really, really needs their defenses to be layered as well, and really robust in order to provide protection.
Okay. You know, you mentioned how almost every attack includes email, and that's in 2020, which is some 25 years or so on from, you know, the days of I Love You and the likes of that, those early email attacks. Is it just the ubiquity of email that makes it such a successful method of attack, or are there other things going on here that make email a prime vector?
I mean, really, it comes down to the fact that everyone uses email. So that's what really makes it successful. So attackers can get to pretty much anyone via email. So business email compromise, for example, cyber criminals are easily able to impersonate whoever they'd like, create a sense of urgency from, say, an executive and some other person maybe who has decision-making authority, maybe accounts payable, whoever that might be, over some kind of financial transaction that the attacker can then leverage for their own benefit. And so typically these attacks don't have any links or attachments, or they're not coming from, you know, some, you know, known crazy malware website. So it's really, really becoming more difficult and harder to identify them as an attack.
It's got to be a hard thing to measure, because I have to imagine it's something that is, if anything, probably drastically underreported. But what do you see as the scale today of the impact, financial and otherwise, of email attacks?
So yeah, I do have some interesting statistics about this. According to the FBI's Internet Crime Compliance Center, or IC3, cybercrime costs is about $3.5 billion in losses in 2019 was what they saw. And this is from mainly business email compromise causing most of these damage. And so the unfortunate thing is that number doesn't even include unreported losses. So in reality, that's going to be even more. The stats say IC3 received almost 500,000 complaints last year, so over 1,300 a day. And the scary thing is that phishing was responsible for 93% of those reported email breaches. So, really, that's just the raw numbers. That's the data, the statistics that have been published. But you really have to think about the other kind of intangible and indirect costs that go along with these attacks. So now you're also dealing with legal fees. Maybe there's regulatory fines if there's a breach. Maybe your organization has to shut down. Maybe no one wants to shop at your company because they know that you were breached and they don't, you know, trust doing business with you anymore. So all these other things have really severe consequences that can really, you know, amplify that pure dollar amount that you see, hey, on the stats report, hey, this is the money that we lost or that was stolen from us. You know, it doesn't take into account all these other factors that are going to be really, really costly. Also, there was another report, Barracuda CUDA released last week, it really, really revealed that in this economy for the attackers, they're really using a bunch of different things like brand impersonation and social engineering and spear phishing to hijack these email accounts and then monetize them. So I got some more statistics about that. Again, just released this past week, so brand new from, you know, unfortunately, all this coronavirus or COVID crisis that we're dealing with. And it's just really, really scary. So we're seeing more than one-third of the hijacked accounts analyzed by researchers had attackers dwelling in the account for more than 1 week. So they're sitting in there just gathering information. So really, really scary stuff. And then we see 20% of the compromised accounts appear in at least one online password data breach. So what that means is that the attackers are really seeing that users aren't necessarily changing their passwords when they should, or they're using the same password across multiple accounts. So they're figuring out, hey, if I get Joe's email password, I wonder if I can use that on Joe's bank account. And that's really, really scary. So you want to make sure that you can educate anyone that you come into contact with that, you know, that's generally not a good idea, because you don't want those attackers getting access to anything that you're associated with. Something that was really interesting, though, is we saw that 78% of the attackers did not access any applications outside of email. So this is suggesting that the organizational cloud accounts may not have access to anything interesting, or maybe they're better protected, or maybe attackers think, hey, that's just too much work to get to. I've already got this through email. I can get my money quickly. Why do I want to mess with something else to cause more headache or potentially get locked out because I'm more likely to get noticed? So this is interesting to see. I have a feeling this might be changing a little bit in the future, that might number might go down, unfortunately, and they'll find better ways to infiltrate fully. But currently, fortunately, a lot of times they seem to have been able to adapt how they want to use this other information.
If there's one thing that those using email attacks have been, it is evolutionary. They have certainly shown the ability and penchant to change over time, and to borrow from, oh, I'm forgetting who said it originally, but never let a good crisis go to waste. What are you seeing in terms of new tactics and approaches that attackers are taking as a result of the pandemic and the switch to work from home that comes from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So a lot of that information in the report really led to some kind of troubling findings. The criminals are getting stealthier. They're finding new ways to monetize whatever they're finding or whatever they're compromised. They're finding ways to stay into accounts longer so they can maximize ways that they can exploit the account. They can gather more information. And that means stealing credentials from others or stealing credentials from partners of that company that they've already compromised. And really, again, just trying to maximize their profits and what they can get out of this account. But the scariest thing I would say is that it's becoming almost a specialization. So there's groups of attackers who are really good at phishing, and then there's groups of attackers who are really good at figuring out, once you're in the account, where do I need to find that information that's critical, or where do I need to look for information, or how do I find this org chart? And there's other attackers that are really good at, hey, how can I turn this around into money for me? And so that's what becomes really scary, is now you have this specialization of attackers deciding, hey, I'm going to be really good at infiltrating accounts, and I can make more money just handing it off to someone else who's really good at getting money out,
right?
And I can just have that constant pay flow. So again, really, really scary, this specialization we're kind of seeing in what they're going to do when they have the information.
Okay. Let's switch to sort of the other side of the arms race, as it were. How have the tools and techniques that MSPs have access to protect their customers evolved to keep up with or even try to get ahead of those trends and what the attackers are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, very important question. And you hit it on the head earlier. It's a rapidly changing environment. It's a bit of an arms race. So we're seeing traditional email security solutions aren't really enough to protect businesses anymore. So you also need to defend against these sophisticated email threats that are really often able to bypass those traditional defenses using backdoor techniques. So spoofing, social engineering, all different types of fraud, just really finding new ways to penetrate networks and wreak havoc. So comprehensive email gateways are the solid foundation. You still need to protect against spam and malware and known viruses just for the bulk that's out there that's coming towards you. Mm-hmm. But you really need to add to that additional layers of protection that's really going to reduce people's susceptibility to email attacks from outside of those avenues. So you really want to help defend your business, data, and people. And like I mentioned before, those gateways are the necessary foundation of email security. They're going to block those kind of call spray and pray attacks. So, hey, I'm going to send out 10,000 emails, see what happens, and hey, maybe I'll get a couple bites. But they're really over-relying on filters and rules and policies. And so if that falls short in protecting the organization, it's going to be because an attack was highly targeted that used social engineering tactics like the spear phishing and business email compromise that we talked about. So to protect from those type of attacks, you need a layer of defense that we call inbox protection. And so this inbox defense relies on APIs that are going to integrate directly with your email environment. This is going to include individual user inboxes. So using this API integration, we're basically providing visibility into both historical and internal email communication for every individual in that organization. So using this communication data as well as artificial intelligence, what we can do here is create what we call an identity graph for each user. And what that's going to do is reflect the normal communication patterns for that user. So now we know what time of day does this person send email, or how do they sign their emails, or where do they send their emails from? And so once we have this, the AI can then detect the anomalies of the behavior that are going to indicate an account compromise. So, hey, this person never signs in from this location, but that was a legitimate username and password combination from the other side of the world. So if I call this guy, is he going to answer me from, say, China or Brazil or Colombia or Italy or Romania or Russia, wherever? It's like, oh, no, I'm sitting in my backyard in California, say. And really good indication that that's been compromised. And so you need to pay attention to that, because now we're noticing these attacks are so targeted, you really need to protect at the inbox level.
Okay. So along with the obvious steps of getting their users to buy in on email protection and getting it in there and set up properly configured, what more can MSPs do to help their customers deal with this landscape of threats that you describe, from a technology standpoint, from a sort of business processes standpoint, and also from sort of a training and business culture standpoint?
Yeah, great question. And you kind of mentioned it before. It's a shame to let a crisis go to waste. unfortunately, in this situation, COVID-19 is really driving the opportunities for a lot of MSPs because they're centered around their IT expertise and the ability to make remote workers productive and secure. So that's probably the biggest focus we're seeing for these MSPs right now, and how they're developing their businesses to make sure that these people can be successful. So the threat landscape itself hasn't really materially changed over the recent months. It's the susceptibility of systems and the susceptibility of people being forced into a new environment that's kind of created this. And so what we're seeing and predicting in the coming years is that the majority of help desk calls are not really going to center on a device-related issue. Really, it's going to be about, hey, someone hacked into my cloud-based file sharing, or hey, I can't get into my email, or hey, I'm seeing these weird emails coming out of my inbox that I'm not sending. And so all these new kind of combinations of account compromise, as well as the devices and the data, we're seeing that need to be addressed. So I actually have some interesting statistics on that as well, what we're seeing MSPs preparing for related to users and data. So there's actually a report released called Evolving MSP Landscape, and that was released in May 2020 by Barracuda, and we noticed that there's a steady rise in the appetite for managed services throughout the world. So if you're not an expert on something, you know, why should I try to learn this and do this when I can pay an MSP who is an expert on it to go ahead and take care of it for me and make sure that I'm secure? So really great opportunities for MSPs to grow their business while at the same time helping to protect their customers. So we heard from 91 MSPs saying that they were planning to increase the breadth and depth of their services capacity in the next year. 69% identified managed services as the biggest opportunity for increasing sales in 2020. And this is really quite a bit higher than 2019, because we actually saw that at 54%. So people are seeing, hey, you know, there's a crisis happening. I have an expertise that people need, and I can help deliver that to them. So those managed services are really going to be beneficial for MSPs in the coming years. We also saw 53% respond that they're expecting to generate over half of their business through managed services in 2020. And then 45% of them saying that up to 50% is going to come through managed services. So pretty much uniformly across the board, the focus is going to be on those managed services. So that includes endpoint security, email security, network security, all top five services in 2020, whereas last year, really email security was the only one that made it into the top five. So just seeing, like I said, that penetration of all these different security aspects because of what's going on. And just a couple more. 79% of MSPs felt customer security concerns were a good opportunity, particularly with the rise of the remote workers. So pretty obvious one there, but you want to capitalize on that. And again, make sure that your customers are trusting you, making sure that you're securing them and creating a good environment for them to stay productive in. 72% said the lack of in-house security skills among customers was also creating these new revenue opportunities. And then finally, almost 90% of MSPs questioned said that the demand for security services was either moderately or significantly increasing. So hate to bore you with all the statistics, but the fundamental idea here is that security-related services are going to be really, really valuable for customers and really, really great opportunities for MSPs.
There's obviously no shortage of opportunities out there, but I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of the approach to selling or the tactics for approaching security sales, because it's always one of those challenging things, right? Because you don't want to come in there with fire and brimstone selling fear, uncertainty, and doubt, but you have to educate customers and sometimes educate in sense of instilling a respect for the situation that is out there. What do you find works for MSPs to kind of get through to customers?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really tough question because you do, I think respect is a good word for it because, yeah, you don't want to make everyone too paranoid to do anything or call anyone or send an email, but you also need to be aware of what's out there. So I think MSPs should really be investing in training and education right now, making sure that those users are no longer seen as a liability. Oh no, little Susie's going to click every link that gets into her inbox, or Bill is surfing the web and visiting every malicious site he can think of just to see what would happen. We want to educate these users so that instead of that, they're seeing an email come in and say, "Oh gosh, I didn't email this person, or this looks unfamiliar, or this doesn't look like it's from a legitimate source. Let me report this to IT and have them take a look at it and make sure that no one else got this too, because I wonder if other people might be having this same problem." And so you turn those liabilities into an asset, and that's going to be the real value, I think, in the coming year, to try to go ahead and move people forward so everyone is aware of these threats that are out there. So in the first couple weeks of March, actually, one more statistic for you. We found at Barracuda almost 500,000 spear phishing email attacks. And of that, about 10,000 were related to COVID-19. So criminal, like I said, it's just very, very scary. Criminals aren't taking a break. And so as a security organization, you really can't either. And the reason for this is the employees were distracted. They've been uprooted. They didn't know how they were going to work. They couldn't tell if this was a work email or a personal email that was coming to their mobile device. Mm-hmm. All these different factors kind of weighed into it. And so those varying degrees of readiness really caused an open door in some senses for attackers to get in there with coronavirus-related messaging, because people wanted to be aware of the latest thing. And so you could bundle some malware into something like that. And even worse, was in some cases, the MSP employees themselves didn't really understand all the different factors that went into spear phishing, all the different types of attacks. So as those problems got worse, some of the MSPs are still learning about the problem before they can try to figure out how to stop it. So that was really a costly delay for a lot of clients, especially when they're already going through a really tough time, not having your managed service or who you rely on for support being able to help you out of it in any way, just created kind of a downward spiral in a really tough situation. So like I said, training and education are going to be key. You don't want to do the full fire and brimstone, but you want to make sure that people are aware of what can hurt them when they're out there checking their email.
All right. Never a dull moment in the world of security and the world of email security in particular. Mark, I appreciate your taking the time to talk through some of these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
There you have it, the state of email protection, from Mark Balaguer from Barracuda MSP. I'd like to thank Mark for taking the time to chat, thank Barracuda for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening today. We'll be back next Monday as we're joined by a couple of familiar names to the Canadian MSP community, Derek Belair and Gavin Garbutt. You probably remember them from their days at Enable, later sold to SolarWinds, and they're back in the game of making a platform for managed service providers. They'll share the details of their new venture, Augment, with us on the podcast. Before then, though, we'd invite you to subscribe to the podcast using Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to be sure that you don't miss an episode. And should you feel so inclined, please do leave us a review to let us know how we're doing and help others find us. Until next week, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.